Dave da, how we doing? Welcome to podcast number 13. We've had another good week here. I hope you've all had a good week. And last weekend was a good weekend, really. On Saturday, we headed over to Snozzle, to Carlion Bay, with all our grave-digging mates. And we had a lovely evening there with Al and the gang, and obviously not forgetting his lovely sister Jackie and Kevin as well. It was a good evening was had by all. And then on Sunday, we traipsed up to Bridgeview and we saw the official turning on of the Christmas lights at our good friends Martin and Myra's. And also, as every year, there was the appearance of the fantastic Father Christmas. And this year, he turned up in a convoy of Land Rover Defenders, including a lovely vintage one there that was driven by John Pomeroy. So if you mount and around Wadebridge at night time, I would pop up Bridgeview and have a geck. There's a lovely display. They seem to be getting more lights there every year, to be honest. And there is also a donation box there where you can pop a bit of money in for charity. And this year again, I know that the monies are going for Brain Tumour Research, a charity which is close to the Langdon family's heart. But well done again to Martin and Myra and Linda as well for putting on a fantastic display. So this week, I thought I would talk about our family's connection with the St John Ambulance Brigade. This connection went back generations. Firstly, there was Grampy. He was in the Bodmin Division. And then Father, when he was 6 or 7, he joined the Bodmin Cadets. And he was in St John Ambulance pretty much all of his life until the Alzheimer's started to creep in. And Mother have got loads of photos home of Father all the way through from when he was a young boy. I think my favourite one of all was in St Petroc's Church in Bodmin. Bodmin Church being the biggest parish church in Cornwall. And Father's in the colour party. He's in the middle carrying the flag. And on his right is Grampy. And on his left, I think it was Jack Pierce. But it's one of those classic black and white traditional photos. Looks really good. As Father got older, he went into the adult division. And then after that, he joined county staff. In the early days, St John Ambulance volunteers covered any call-outs during the nights. And I know that before Father got married, he used to stay evenings and weekends sometime up at Bill Beer's place at Withiel. Bill had a phone, so that if they had a call, they'd both be ready to go straight out. Also, when we were young, and then we were all living in Glen Road, Father was still on call. And because of this, we had the telephone and we were one of the few houses in Glen Road that had a phone. And it wasn't unusual for me to be going out the front room and into the front passageway there inside the front door. And there'd be one of our neighbours there on the phone, borrowing it, either making a call or receiving a call from their friends or relatives. For most of his life, St John was Father's passion. And me and my sister Julie, to be honest, quite often didn't see much of him at all because he would be working till late, come home, have a quick tea, get into his uniform and then travel somewhere in Cornwall. We travelled hundreds of miles over the years for inspections and different events and he absolutely loved it. He quickly went up through the ranks. He was Area Commissioner of East Cornwall. Then he was Assistant Commissioner of Cornwall and then Deputy Commissioner of Cornwall. And I think he served under a few commissioners, including the late Lady Mary Albra. He was awarded Serving Brother and then Officer Brother. And then he became Commander of the Order of St John. And also in 1977, him and Mother went up to Buckingham Palace, where he was awarded the Queen's Silver Jubilee Medal. He also organised for many years the St John Ambulance Fete on the Wadebridge playing fields. And this was always held in the middle of summer on a Saturday afternoon and evening. There'd be a huge marquee there with lots of events going on. At the entrance to the playing fields, opposite Cox's Corner, would always be Malcolm Jonas with his traction steam engine fairground organ. And that was a marvellous sight, that was. And then you'd walk past there. I don't know if any of you can remember the aviary that used to be there with all the birds. And then you would walk towards the cricket pitch, and there on your left would be the marquee. What a sight that was. There would be lots of stalls inside. I know there was always a baby show. Outside there would be vintage vehicles, and quite often Wadebridge Fire Brigade would come over and do a demonstration of one type or another, perhaps cutting people out of a car or something. You had Jackie from Overslade. She would be there with others doing pony rides, and I've got a photo. I'm sure it is her pony Silver, I think, if I'm right, that I used to love riding on that one. And it always seemed to be sunny. Then in the evening, there was always the bingo. And I think afterwards, quite often, there'd be a disco. And I know our group, the Chipmunks, we played there quite a bit. But that's another story. Another of Father's jobs was to organise the first aid cover for the Royal Cornwall Show. And how it used to work, on Thursdays and Saturdays you would have St John Ambulance, and on the Friday you would have the Red Cross, and then the following year they would swap. And there was always a lovely bit of banter between St John and Red Cross, and there's still a few of them around now. Dear old Jerry Chandler and Esther Trenouth, the lovely old gang. But Father, he absolutely loved the show, and over the years, you got radios as well in the ambulances, which was all quite modern. And I also remember another thing, because Father was quite high up. If there was ever a national emergency or something locally, Father was issued with one of these magnetic blue flashing lights, that it would be a bit like Starsky and Hutch, where he'd reach his hand out and he would put it on the roof of the car and the magnet would hold it there. But it was not quite as good as Starsky and Hutch, because he had to add a long lead coming from his that he had to plug into the cigarette lighter for it to work. Over the years then, as Father took over the business, his duties, he did a little bit less each year. And then when the Alzheimer's kicked in, that really cut back his duties and it kind of fizzled out. But I don't think he ever officially left, to be honest. And he had a wonderful life with St John, and I know he loved it. So obviously, 'twould be a natural thing that when myself and Julie, my sister, came of age, we would join St John. Living in Glen Road, we was only a few hundred yards away from the ambulance station down there in Fair Park. If you cut down the little alleyway there by the old egg depot, and we'd be there in a couple of minutes. I can remember vividly my first evening down at the cadets. I went into the room, and back then it was absolutely packed. And the division was run by Ken Rilstone. And I always remember that first evening, he also had Edmund Elliott, who was there helping him to run the evening's events. I stayed in the cadets then right the way through to I was 16, and then joined the adult division. And over that time, we covered hundreds of events with first aid duty. And I'll talk about a few of them. The one that was always very busy was down at Polzeth in the first aid hut. And we would get down there early in the morning, usually an adult with one or two cadets. You might have a half hour off for dinner, but you were always busy. There was a continual stream of people coming in with minor injuries, cuts, bruises, but the most common injury was a sting from the weaver fish as you was walking across the beach on the bottom of your foot. Quite often also, dear Theo Strout would pop in to see us. He was in St John, out St Mimber way, and he would always come in and see how we were doing. He was a lovely familiar face to see. As Father was on county staff, we never really went on many duties with him, but one that he always loved and he always tried to tag along on was the point-to-point. Nowadays, I know you've still got the point-to-point at Trebedanon, but a lot of them are held up at the showground. But back then, Father's favourite, I think, was the one that was held at Trewernan, which I'm guessing was all pretty much on the land of Bill Tucker. I remember as a young cadet, I couldn't get over how high the fences were, and they were solid as well. And I couldn't believe the speed at which the horses came down towards them. And I remember Father once saying to me, warning me that the next race coming in the programme, don't be surprised, he said, if there's a lot of swearing from the jockeys as they encouraged their horses to jump over the edges. And he was right, there was a fair bit, and this was the lady jockeys race. I also did duties up at the showground for the Royal Cornwall Show, but to be honest, I wasn't so keen on doing they really, because I preferred to be going round the show with me mates, and there was always cadets from all over Cornwall that wanted to go up there, so there was never a shortage of volunteers. One duty that I loved up the showground was the motorbike time trials, and these happened every year. The paddock was down the bottom end of the showground, the tollgate end, and the motorbikes would go on the concrete roads from the bottom right up to the top, one at a time, obviously, against the clock. I don't think there was a lot of health and safety back then. I can remember, I don't know if they're still there now, the big chunks of rock that were placed here and there at the showground. So they'd have a bale of hay in front of that one, and that would be it. I always loved motorbikes, but mother and father, they was dead against it, and any spare money I'd earned over the years when I was younger usually went towards guitars or something like that. But when I was in my late 20s and James and Daisy was still young then, I saw the government was making the test a lot more difficult and involved. So I thought, 'tis now or never. So I did a 3-day super course with Damrells and got me motorbike license then. But I had four cousins, all brothers, and they were really into their bikes. And I'm pretty sure all four of them, they raced up at these time trials quite a lot. And that would be David Powell, Tony, Keith and Richard. So every time I was up there, I'd head down to the paddock, and I was a bit younger than they, but I used to hang round them and have a yarn, and then we'd get back on duty. But the speed that they bikes went, I tell you, it was fantastic. And very rarely, though, did we have any crashes or injuries. You might get a few, but most times, if they did run off, there was never too bad an injury from what I can remember. And, of course, Tony and Wendy and their boy Stephen, they're still very much involved in the bike world today with their shop, Camelford Bike Bits. I was only up there actually week before last. They MOT'd me monster, so it was good to see them. There always seemed to be a lot of parades back then when we were younger, and quite often as well you would get royalty attending. And I think obviously because of Father's rank, he would be there, and me and my sister, Father would have us tagging along. I remember once there is a photo of me and Julie and Father on St. Michael's Mount, and I think it was the Duke of Gloucester we met that day. And a few years later, I did get the chance to give a bouquet of flowers to the Queen. But back then, I was just starting my musical career, in inverted commas, and being the lead singer and bass guitarist of a heavy rock group, I said to Father, this isn't doing my street cred any good. So I actually did decline that offer. But I don't think the Queen ever held it against me. Quite often on these parades, there would also be a colour party, and I usually ended up carrying the flag with two escorts. I think the main reason was I was a little bit older than the others, so I think that's the only reason I got that job. But also, with Father's involvement, I don't know if he volunteered me or what, but I'd also have to do quite a few Bible readings at these services, and crumbs, I was a nervous wreck, really. I hated, as you can imagine, being a shy chap, I hated public speaking, but that's something also that I had to do over the years. We would be meeting at the ambulance hall once a week, and I can remember sometimes you'd finish just before 9 o'clock and you'd be rushing out the door to get home in time for the Sweeney, which always started bang on 9 o'clock. Other times we'd all get together. We'd had our tea earlier, but we'd all get together afterwards and head over to Lang's chip shop. We'd always have the same thing to eat, which was a bag of chips and a bag of cracklin. That's what we called it. I mean, basically it was batter bits. And of course, these bits were all free of charge, and we thought we was having a bargain. And the staff there at the chip shop, they was a lovely gang. I think I remember most of them. I'm bound to forget somebody, but obviously there was Betty Dennis was there, Shirley Prescott, Rose Sargent, Sheila Cavill, and Jean Libby, to name a few. And we would hang around there for a while, and then we'd head home. The one thing which we did excel at down there was first aid competitions. Initially, I was the young member in an older team, but as they got older and the younger ones come up, they weren't that much younger than me, but we formed a new team, and a team was made of 4 plus 1 reserve. I was the captain of the team, again, I think really because I was just that little bit older. Our first aid skills was all pretty much the same, so I think it was just that I was that little bit older. Number two was Jeremy Cross, also known as Bruce, who tragically was killed when he was riding pillion when he was 21, and that's something that shook us for many years. Number three was Martin Bate, and number four was Ian Obbs, or Noah, as we know him, who again sadly passed away last year. And then one year our reserve was Dave Rillstone, and another year it was Adrian Daly. The competition consisted of, I can't remember if it was 12 or 15 minutes, but the four of us would enter a scene where you would have patients strewn here, there and everywhere, and the makeup of their injuries was fantastic. That would take hours for people to apply, and I would instruct the team members to go in different directions to different patients, assess who was the most injured, and treat them. By each patient, there would be a judge, and they would be watching what you was doing and be marking you, and then these marks would be added up when the time run out. Also, there would be an individual competition test where you were all separated and you had to go and treat one patient, again being marked. It was a shorter period of time, and then all of these marks were added together and also added to the total. Cornwall was divided into east and west, and we entered a few competitions as this team, and I think we come perhaps third or fourth, but then this one year everything just seemed to click. We won the eastern area, and then we went to the county finals. And again, we weren't expecting much. You always had good teams, like Redruth, always very successful. But we went to the county finals and we won. And we couldn't believe it. We were over the moon. So the next stop was, as Cornish champions, to represent Cornwall at the regional finals. We did okay up there. I can't remember what we did come. I must ask Martin Bate, see if he can remember. Perhaps third or fourth, I can't remember. But that was that, and that was a good year. We achieved much more than we ever thought we would. I must admit, the following year, I found it much more pressurised. As we'd won the county finals the year before, everybody was out to beat us this year, and we were the favourites, which was unusual because we'd always been the underdogs. But we had the area finals again, and we won. And then on to the county finals. And it was class, really, because it was just coincidence. But this year, the county finals was held in Wadebridge up at the comprehensive school. and there wasn't really a home advantage as such. It was just nice to be on home ground as we defended our title. So we took part in the competition and we swept the boards. It was brilliant. We won everything we could. It was a fantastic day. Never forget it. And of course, that meant, again, we'd be heading up to England, representing Cornwall in the regional finals. I can't remember. I think one year was Swindon and one was Western-Super-Mare. I don't know. My memory ain't quite as good as it used to be. But off we went. Just to give you a little bit of background with the marking, like I said, you would have a judge there and he would have a list of things that he would mark off if you did it correctly. And I would say most judges would be doing it as they went along. But there was this controversial way of marking, which they called block marking. And that was where the judge, he wouldn't put pen to paper at all. He'd just be watching me the whole time. And then when the time was up, he would then go through and mark off what you did and didn't do. So over the years, Father himself had done a lot of marking, a lot of judging, and he always said the best way to do it would be to mark off as you saw the teams doing what they should have been doing. And he said block marking, he said it's okay if you've got one or two teams, but for the big competitions, after a few teams, your mind gets a bit muddled. Oh, was it this team or that team? So he always said the best way was to do it as it was going. But when we got to the regionals and we had our first team event, the judge was judging, he was doing the marking, and you guessed it, he was block marking. So we thought we'd done okay. I mean, I was never overly confident. And at the end of the day, when we had the awards, we came second and we narrowly missed out on going up for the national finals. But when Father, he saw the score sheets afterwards and he was rampant, and whether he was biased or what, I don't know. But he said we was robbed, really. He said there were things that we'd done that weren't marked off. But there we are. We never made it to the national finals, but it was another good weekend away. I can remember coming home on the bus. I don't know if it was the first year or second year, actually, and Madness, One Step Beyond, the album had come out, and the last track on the album was Chipmunks or Go. And I remember we just sung that over and over again, and that's where the Chipmunks group started. Like I said earlier, I think I'll save that for another podcast. The frustrating thing then was the following year, I'd had my birthday and I was a little bit too old. So that was the last time that our team competed together in the competition. But we had some brilliant memories. And then I went up into the adult division. I was in the adults for a good few years. I remember the first ambulance I drove, I think it was an old Bedford. And it was one of these old ones that had a chrome bell on the bonnet. Fantastic little ambulance to drive. And another good memory was when a gang of us went over to Guernsey. Had a good week over there. Included me actually calling into a local undertaker's over there. And we had a lovely guided tour. But yeah, we had lots of good memories there. Also, one year we went over to Paris. I remember Dave Blee, he was working for the bus company at the time. And they let him borrow a bus for a week. And off we went. And we had a good week there too. But as the years went on, the groups I was in, we were just gigging more, practicing more during the weeks. And also then working with Father, with coroner's calls and working late. Just there wasn't enough time in the day or in the week. So I think it was about mid-20s when I decided that I'd call it a day with St John's. Nowadays, there's hardly any divisions left in Cornwall, and nationwide, St John is such a small organisation, I feel, to what it used to be. You've still got Paul Elliott in Bodmin, he's still got a division going, but here in Wadebridge, the division folded quite a few years ago. The ambulance hall is still down there, although it never did belong to St John Ambulance. It was a different hall committee that actually raised the monies and built it. And it's a set of trustees and a committee. I'm actually trustee still for it. And the Weybridge Welfare Transport, they keep their minibus down there, and that's run by Marguerite Day and Mike Harvey, and they do a marvellous job now, taking elderly out, getting them out of the house and taking them on trips and everything. But if dear father, if he could look back now to see what St John's is like compared to in his heyday, I think he'd be quite sad. So I think I'll finish there. I think I've rambled on enough. Hopefully you haven't found it too boring. I'm not too sure what I'll be talking about next week yet, but I'll hopefully think of something. But until then, have a good week. Wish you well. Do genus.